Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
Where the real battle is the way we think. If you're fantasizing, fellas, in a time of your career and of your life, you're going to find yourself rationalizing your sin. And ladies, if you find yourself harboring your bitterness and you keep thinking about it and thinking about it, soon you will nurse your resentment to the point that you will imagine you are justified in lashing out and in doing something that's not right.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Temperance Grows Where the Stream Flows.
Here's several things that I want to help you with, and I think that they are scripturally based principles that will help you develop in the area of temperance. How can you be temperate? Sometimes I think we have all the doctrine down. Wait a minute. There's a matter of the heart that we've got to obey this year. Temperance. And here we go. Seven quick thoughts that I trust will help you. Letter A. If you're going to be temperate this year, you've got to admit your weakness. Admit your area of weakness. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. Now, already tonight, if you've been listening to this Bible study message, perhaps a few thoughts have come to your mind that you need to work with. And I don't think we need to go around telling everybody what that may be, but the Holy Spirit maybe is telling you already something. An area that perhaps in the new year He wants to help you have victory in. James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Now here's the pattern. First, there is lust, which produces sin, which produces death. Lust is the issue of the heart, sin is the act carried out, and death is the result. Maybe death to a relationship, maybe death to the numbness of your own heart, maybe even a literal physical death of someone's life. Sin always produces death. It did with Cain and Abel, it did with Adam and Eve, it did in the life of Saul, and throughout the course of history, we see that lust produces sin, which produces death spiritually and sometimes physically. Now, our flesh wants to take the path of least resistance. And so we must recognize and admit the area where our flesh struggles. If it's in the area of wrong thoughts, if it's in the area of physical desire, if it's in the area of perhaps living a lifestyle that is against the Word of God, then we've got to stop right now. We've got to admit the weakness. And by the way, all of us tonight should have an area, if we're honest, where we say, "I need help in this area." Years ago on the show Hee Haw, how many of you remember Hee Haw? But Doc Campbell was confronted by a patient who says he broke his arm in two places. And Doc Campbell said, "Well, then stay out of them places." Sometimes we have to admit that certain places, certain situations, certain sins are real temptations and trials. It may be food. It may be temper. It may be emotions. It may be sex. It may be drink. It may be an envious heart. Only God knows why people act the way they act. Only God knows what's in the heart. But if you would ask the Lord tonight, He'd reveal it to you. You see, the fruit problem may be some area that's always falling short, and the root problem may be covetousness, and the fruit problem may be always things that are said, and the root problem may be envy, and the fruit problem may be that you're having to get counseling that is court ordered, and the root problem may be anger, and on and on and on and on it goes, you see. Be willing to admit your area of need, your area of weakness. Secondly, if you want to develop temperance in the new year, the second principle from the Bible tonight is forget your past. Forget your past. Turn, if you'd like to, please, to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I want to help you to forget your past failures and to go ahead and launch out this year for God and for good. And forget the past. Philippians 4:13 says, brethren, I count not myself... I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, but pastor, last year I tried and my family just despised me, and last year I tried and my boss hated it, and last year I tried and it only lasted for 6 weeks. Well, try this year and let it last 6 months. Don't stop trying. I was thinking about when our son Larry was learning how to walk. For some reason, he just was one of those kids, he wanted to learn how to do that on his own schedule. He wasn't in a real hurry. You know, other kids, it seems like they're driving at 6 months or something, you know, but he just wasn't in a hurry. And then when he did try to walk, seems like he just fell all the time. He'd just get up there and kind of a wobbly little dude, and then all of a sudden, whomp, he'd fall over. And try and stand up again, and he'd take one step, and whomp, he'd fall over again. And I mean, just like your children, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times he fell over. But you know, Mrs. Chaplin and I never one time looked at Larry and said, well, maybe he's just not meant to be a walker. Look at, stop looking at your life and saying, well, maybe I'm just meant to have this sin. I'm just not meant to be a Bible reader. Normally, when you run a long distance race, it's a good thing not to run it in cowboy boots. And I'm saying tonight, if you've got spiritual cowboy boots on or weights in your hip pocket, why don't you just get rid of those tonight? Just forget the past. You see, first admit the area of weakness. Secondly, forget the past failure. Thirdly, this is a hard one, but I think it's got to be said. Don't let your mood manipulate you. Now, look, you're either going to be controlled by the flesh or by the spirit. I just don't feel like going to church today. I just don't feel like forgiving him. I just don't feel like loving her. You see, you're either going to go by your feelings or you're going to go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you let your mood manipulate you, you will be manipulated into spiritual failure and despondency. Turn, if you would, in your Bible for a moment to Titus 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Hope you don't mind turning lots of verses tonight. I saw the sign out front. It said Baptist Church. And here's a scripture that puts grace in perspective and helps to have balance in the Christian life. And it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What does it do? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so the grace of God is His Holy Spirit at work. How many of you know it's by grace you're saved? That's the Holy Spirit that did that. And it's by God's grace that we're going to grow and live. That's why when I could get ticked off, if I'm growing in the Holy Spirit, I will not get ticked off. Because God's grace teaches me to deny ungodliness. And it's an ungodly thing for me to be ticked off at my wife. Anybody here want to stand up and say, I think it's a good, godly thing. Good Christian men are mad at their wives constantly. How many of you would agree? It's an ungodly thing to be ticked off at your wife. So how can I walk in love towards my wife and towards my fellow Christian? It is as I am filled with the Holy Spirit, the grace of God will teach me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Having victory, being temperate. Don't let your mood manipulate you. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. You'll either be a fleshly driven Christian or a spirit-led Christian, one or the other, this year. Say, well, sometimes I just don't feel like loving her or him. There again, that's when you come back to the Lord and you say, Lord, as I pray every single morning of my life and sometimes several times throughout a day, Lord, I need the fullness of your Spirit because I can't act towards this situation or towards this person the way you would want me to unless you help me. I just can't do it in my own merit. Don't let your mood manipulate you in the new year. But when you make decisions on your knees and with this book open, with a tender heart towards God, they'll be the right decisions. Don't let your mood manipulate you. So many Christians get manipulated by their mood and they're not following the Holy Spirit. Number four, if you want to have a temperate new year, discipline, believe that God can bring change. Believe that God can bring change. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now, I'm going to give you several verses in just a moment, but I want you to write this little phrase down. My beliefs will determine my behavior. My beliefs will determine my behavior. Now, I don't know what the issue is that you first admitted as a weakness tonight, those of you that are getting into this and thinking through it. But whatever that might be, it is imperative tonight that you believe that God can give you victory in that area. Amen. It is vital that we would recognize that God is all-powerful and that whatever that area might be, He's able. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, listen, you say, Pastor, but I've failed in the past. There again. But God is able. And we're on a journey here. And not one of us is perfect. And not one marriage is perfect. And not one teenager is perfect. But listen, God is able to bring you to another level spiritually this year. God is able to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, if that's not true, we ought to just pack it up and go home right now. But if it is true, then let's get God's help for the new year. Turn, if you would, please, to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. First, we said, admit your weakness. Secondly, we said, forget your past. Thirdly, we said, don't let your mood manipulate you. Now we're saying, believe that God can bring change. Now notice what it says, Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here we've studied the word before. Transform speaks of a metamorphosis. It speaks of being changed from the inside out. Now listen, let me tell you what scares me to death. And listen very carefully if you're on the front row or the last row. Here's what scares me to death. It is a Christian and you've been to this church and that church and this college and that and this and you know everything and outwardly you know how to look and you know the part and you know the lingo and you know how to look just right around pastor or whatever. But your heart and mind are not being renewed like back when in your first revival meeting at your summer camp where you threw the pine cone in and said, I will serve him with all my life. Or when you first got saved and said, this is awesome. And I am not against looking sharp outwardly. We're not here at a beach party. We're here at church. I'm not against that. I'm simply saying, though, God sees the heart. And we've got to recognize that this verse says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be metamorphosized, be changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. Someone says, how's my mind going to be renewed? I'm glad you asked. By the Word of God. God's Word, the reading of God's Word, the applying of God's Word will change your mind, and it will cause you, and it causes me many times to repent. And that means to agree with God and to change my mind about myself and about God and to change my way. And how many of you know if you're going to be here 12 months from now, there will probably be several times this next year where you'll have to change your mind about yourself. How many of you men are glad that at a men and boys camp out 1 year, maybe last year, God changed your mind? How many of you men are glad? How many of you are glad perhaps that at a revival meeting, God changed your mind? He transformed your mind from the inside out. You were listening to the preaching and all of a sudden God said, wow, he showed you. And you realize I was thinking incorrectly about this area. I'm so glad that God renews my mind. How many of you are glad he does that for you? Listen, the best Christians I've ever known are prone to wander, prone to get off in the wrong direction. Believe that God can bring change. He'll change your mind. Letter E, become accountable. Become accountable. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, please. If you want to be temperate in a particular area, whether it's your tongue, whether it's physical, whether it's some other area of your thoughts, it may be in some situations helpful to have a Christian brother or a sister that you are spending time in prayer with and sharpening. If you're in a relationship where you feel like you're being dulled because they're not spiritual, you may have to get a different friend to help you get victory. Listen, nearness is likeness, and someone who's struggling in the same area won't help you to have victory in that area. Ecclesiastes 4:12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now listen, we hear about all these men's movements and men go to, you know, big coliseums, they all hold hands and they promise to love their wives and then they get an accountability partner and all the rest of that. Listen, you don't have to go to a men's conference to do that. What is it? Is the idea that God's local church isn't enough? That God's local church is a failed institution and so you can only find good accountability when you go to a parachurch rally and you meet somebody there and so forth? I think not. I think God has given the local church to be the place for spiritual encouragement and sometimes accountability. Let me just say a couple of things. You ought not to share particular issues of struggle with a member of the opposite sex or with a weaker Christian. There are certain things you ought not to say, but in the wholesome, biblical, godly context of the issue, it is not wrong to go to someone that is a good example and a brother in Christ, and you're a brother in Christ, and saying, look, would you pray for me this year? I'm praying that God would help me to bring my thoughts into captivity and that God would help me this year to have a right spirit. Listen, it might be revival for some ladies in the church to come and say, perhaps to a godly woman in the church, would you pray for me that I would not utter something this year that would be of a gossip nature? That I wouldn't even hear something like that. I'm telling you, that could be the beginning of revival for someone's life. Find someone to whom you can become accountable. I thank God for men in my life that have that kind of relationship with me. It's a tremendous blessing. And I know this, I must first be a man of God because most of my life has been apart from these men here or other good godly men. I've got to first fear the Lord myself, and so do you. But it doesn't hurt to know that periodically there's going to be someone talk turkey with you about how you're doing in your Christian life. You see, become accountable. And let me just say this on becoming accountable. I said don't share issues with members of the opposite sex. Don't share issues with a weak Christian. Don't ask for accountability if you don't mean it. I'm saying letter E, become accountable. I'm not mandating that. I'm just saying that may help you. Sometimes it has surely helped me. Letter F, avoid temptation. Avoid temptation. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. We'll wrap this up. Someone said, when you flee temptation, be sure you don't leave a forwarding address. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your what? Okay, excuse me. If you're talking about something that happened 10 years ago, you probably let the sun go down on it. Again and again and again and again. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But here's the phrase I wanted you to see. Read it with me, verse 27, please. Ready, begin. Neither give place to... Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. There is a wicked, evil devil in this world. And he wants to destroy you and your family. And he can't take your salvation, but he can take your testimony. He can take your joy. And the Bible says we're not to give place to the devil. And we're speaking here about avoiding temptation. Don't even give him the opportunity. Listen, if you don't want rotten apples, then stay out of the devil's orchard. Don't get into the place where he can tempt you. Teenagers, don't get into that dark situation where all of a sudden now you've got to make that decision to say no. You say no before you ever get there. Moms and dads the same. It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all the desires that follow the first desire. Neither give place to the devil. And I suppose there's 1,000 things that could be mentioned. It may be the matter of certain magazines. Maybe the matter of certain television channels that just need to get blocked or whatever. How many of you realize that everyone in the Christian life somewhere differently spiritually? How many realize, for example, for some people, possibly the best policy for them right now is no television? That doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean they're holier than thou. It doesn't mean anything. It just means God gave us individual soul liberty so that everyone needs to have a different standard in some of those areas in their life. But what I'm saying is whatever you need to do to not give place to the devil, then do it. Don't give him a chance. Whether it's a magazine, whether it's certain places. You know, it'd be pretty hard to have a real good testimony going over to a bar. Well, I'm just going over there. I'm just going to have pop. Just thought I'd have devotions there. I don't think so. Sometimes temptation comes with perhaps a magazine or forms of entertainment or places. Sometimes it comes because of the wrong friends. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Peer pressure is amazing, not just for our teenagers, but it's amazing for adults too. Avoid temptation. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And this is one that moms and dads, we need to practice this, and teenagers too. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, the word communications there means companions, companionship. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15:33 together. Ready? Begin. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So bad or evil company or companions will corrupt good character. So the wrong friends will influence your character in a wrong way. And if someone is tempting you or challenging you to live other than in a godly way, then that is a corruption, that is a temptation from which you may need to flee, you see. Avoid the temptation, whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's an entertainment form, whatever area tends to appeal to that weakness, back at letter A, then whatever it is, don't even get around it, but abstain from all appearance of evil. Here's the outline. Letter A was admit your weakness. B was forget the past. C, don't let your mood manipulate you. D, believe that God can bring a change. E, be accountable. F, avoid temptation, and here's the key to the whole message, and we're done. Depend on the power of God. Depend on the power of God. Don't just try, but trust. I'm going to really try this year to not get angry. I'm going to really try this year to not think improperly. I'm going to really, why don't you say, this year I'm going to really trust God in that area.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.